So thanks very much for really good kind words of welcome. It's really good to be here. And just wanted to share with you a bit of my background and my life story. And of course, I'm not from Northern Ireland. I come from Poland. And English is not my first language, so I hope I speak clear enough. And that I hope you can understand me okay. Sometimes I tend to speak a little bit too fast, and I know you speak a lot faster than me, but I suppose when you speak with a different accent, sometimes you can make mistake. And I remember when Colin, my husband, he came over to Poland and he wanted to learn some Polish. So my brother taught him how to say certain things, and he was staying with my family. And on the last evening before he went back to Northern Ireland, he stood up and he started to speak to my father in Polish, and I was like completely shocked. But what I didn't know was that my brother was trying to tell him exactly how to say certain things, and he said, make sure you use the right words, because if you just slightly change them, you know, it'll be a completely different story. So Colin wanted to say on that night that he wanted to say to my father, can I have the hand of your daughter in marriage, please? And to say please in Poland, you have to say proszę, but he said proszę, which means pig. So that was a very good start. He called my father a pig. So that was a nice impression he made. But then to say daughter, you have to say córka, but Colin said turkey. So he said altogether, pig, can I have the hand of your turkey in marriage? So I hope I'll not twist the words like that tonight. But I just wanted to start, first of all, with reading the first verse of Psalm 27. It's my favorite psalm, Psalm 27. And the first verse just simply says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And, you know, this life story is not a story about my life, it's not a story about me, it's about God and what he has done in my life and how he brought love to my life, how he healed me and how he forgave me, and how he is a light and salvation in my life, and also how he became a strength for in my life. So I grew up in Poland. Poland is a very beautiful, very nice country. I really miss it a lot. I miss, you know, the beauty of it, I miss the culture of it, I miss people. But of course, you know, now I'm part of Northern Irish culture, so you know, this is my home here now. But I still love going back to Poland. Now, Poland is a very, very Roman Catholic country. 99.9% of the whole society is Roman Catholic. So you can just imagine, I really grew up not knowing anything else. For example, in this country here, you hear the gospel, you know that there are people that are Christians, you know what it means, even if you're not a Christian yourself, you know what it means to be a Christian, you know what it takes to become a Christian, and you know what it takes to live a Christian life. But in Poland, Catholic people think they are Christians, they call themselves Christians, but you don't really hear you don't really hear a real true gospel. You don't really hear about of course you hear about Lord Jesus, how he came on this earth, how he died on the cross, but you never ever hear how you can become a Christian, how your sins can be forgiven once for all. What I was taught when I was growing up is that your sins are forgiven by the priest. Then you go to the priest, you have to confess him your sins. We were taught all different types of sins. For example, I remember when priest was teaching us that there is light sins and there are heavy sins. So, for example, light sin is if you maybe, I don't know, use a swear word, or you don't obey your parents, or you say a lie, or, you know, things like that, kind of like light sins. If you commit those sins and if you die, for example, with those sins, we were taught that you will be going to the purgatory. And in purgatory you will be either a few years or maybe a few hundred years in order to eventually get to heaven. But we were taught about heavy sin, and that heavy sin would be breaking one of the Ten Commandments. But also we were taught that heavy sin would be if you miss a Sunday Mass, if you miss going to church on Sunday, that is a heavy sin. And if you die in the state of that sin, that means you will go to hell. So when I was a little baby, just a few, you know, a 1 year old, I was baptized in a Catholic church. Then eventually, when I was 7 years old, I had to go through Holy Communion. So that meant for the first time in my life, I had to confess my sins to the priest. So obviously we had to go through all the training and, you know, the priest was teaching us how to do that. And eventually we had to go through so-called confirmation. We were going to religion classes. I very, very early in my life, I was really, really interested in different things that were connected with the church. I used to go to like camps, just help with different things in the church. And actually quite early, I always found myself like talking to God. And I always thought living for God would be a wonderful idea. And I remember there was a time when I had to pass exams to the college. And it was really, really difficult to pass those exams. There was only 50 places and there was like 200 or 300 people applying for those places. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to pass those exams because it's just so hard. And I remember talking to a friend and I said that if I didn't pass those exams, I would seriously consider becoming a nun. And, you know, I was sort of half serious about that. I sort of thought it would be amazing just to set everything aside, all this life, and just go somewhere to a monastery where all the nuns live and just to be able to live a life, you know, for God. Now, I said that, well, I did pass those exams and I got to the art college, but I said that story later on, many years later, to Colin, my husband, and he said that he was glad that he didn't, that I didn't become a nun because he wouldn't tolerate none of this and none of that. So, that was Colin's introduction, you know, to Alster's sense of humor, I suppose. But there I was in the art college and, you know, in the meantime, my family wasn't doing great because my parents decided to go their separate ways. And for various reasons, I had to grow up with my dad and with a new stepmother. So that wasn't very easy. That created a lot of difficulties for me. And that made me feel very, very unsettled in life. And all the more, I wanted to, you know, paint because I, you know, I loved art. I wanted to paint. I also started to. I met a friend. She was in my class in art college, and she told me that she was going to the mass every morning before going to the college. That wasn't just on Sunday. That was like from Monday to Friday, and she told me that there was this one church in town, and it had every morning at 7 o'clock in the morning. It had masses for the students. So I thought that would be great to go there, and so I started to go there with her. And it was, I thought at the time it was fantastic. I remember there was a little room in the church, and always after the Mass, we always went to that room, and there was like a pile of bread and milk, and we always had like a breakfast, and then we went on to the colleges. And it was there in that, during those Masses, we used to sing different choruses and different songs, and there was one chorus especially really, really drew my attention. And I remember every time this chorus came on, I just sat there and I felt like almost like frozen. I couldn't even sing the words of it. I was really, really drawn, first of all, to the music, to the tune, but also to the words. And I, every time we were singing those words, I just could not understand what, how can you actually even say those words? How can you sing those words? And you probably know this chorus. It goes like this. Jesus, name above all names, blessed Redeemer and glorious Father. Emmanuel, God is with us, beautiful Savior and living Word. I just could not understand, how can you say that Jesus is a name above all names? I always thought that going to the church is because everybody else is going there and, you know, there's somewhere out there, there's some God. But to actually say that he is like name above all names. And I thought that means that he is above everything. He's like the most important thing. But I couldn't say that myself personally. And I remember many, many times, you know, anytime this chorus was announced that we're going to sing it, I just sat there and I sometimes, you know, the tears were coming down my face. And I thought, how could I even, you know, how could I learn for myself that this is true. And I remember one time I was saying, even in my own heart, I just started to pray. That's nice that there's more people coming in. So I remember that there was one morning, and I just started to pray in my own heart. And I just simply said, God, if you exist at all, if you're there somewhere, maybe God, maybe you don't exist, maybe you're not even true, but if you are true God, if you do exist, please show me that the words of this chorus are true. And what I didn't know was that God really heard those that little simple prayer. But what I didn't know was that God was going to take me on a very long journey of very, very hard, difficult search for him. But what was wonderful that in the end of that journey, I did find him. First of all, within a few months after that, I started to feel very, very unsettled in the church, in a Catholic church. And it was very strange because here I was, you know, in my sort of early teenage years, I was so involved in going here and there and going to all those masses every morning. My dad thought I was a little bit crazy, you know, doing that because he thought it was not normal. And then suddenly, after a few months, I started to feel very unsettled. I started to miss even Sunday masses, which, you know, in this religion, it was like a very, very heavy sin, very big thing to do. So I started to miss all those masses, and I was there less and less, and eventually I stopped going to church altogether. And of course, I felt a massive, massive gap and void in my life. First of all, I had no religion. I still felt very, very unhappy with my family life, and there was a lot of things that were going on. And so there was always like, I always cried for something. I always was wondering, what is the sense of this life? You know, why are we here? What's the point of living? Why are we on this earth? And deep down in my heart, I really wanted to find something or someone just to show me, you know, how to live my life, how to differentiate between right and wrong, how to make choices in life and all those things. And I started to try lots of different things in life. I was very interested at the start in astrology, reading stars, reading horoscopes. I started to go to all those people that can read the palm of your hand, tell you all about the future. And I tried to do even things like spiritistic things when you call the dead people's souls and things like that. Of course, those are very, very dangerous, very dark things. But I tried all of those things. And, you know, after trying all those things, I felt even more void in my life. And I felt that, you know, my life started to become like darker and darker and darker. In the meantime, I went on to university. It was art university. I was really, really, I loved art. Art seemed to be like something that was really helping me a lot. I actually brought one of my paintings here, but I'll show it to you a little bit later on. And there in the university, I remember there was a few friends I had, and we knew each other for years because we went to the same art college, then we went to the same art university. And these were people, I knew them very, very well, but suddenly I noticed that something changed in them. Every time we had some conversation, for example, they always would bring God into conversation. Now, I know in Northern Ireland it's quite a common thing, but in Poland, it's not in the Polish culture that you talk about God. Even people that are very devout Roman Catholic people, they never talk about God. It's just something that they do. They just go to church and, you know, they do those things. They never talk about God. But suddenly my friends started to talk about God, and I thought that's really, really strange. So I also noticed that few of them went to one of the little rooms of university, and they would bring the guitar with them, and they would spend there maybe an hour or so, and very often they would do that, maybe, you know, a few times a week. So one of the people in that group was Martin. He lived very close to my house, so very often we would be on the same tramway or same bus home. And one time we were sitting together in the bus, and I said, Martin, tell me this. What are those little meetings about? What is it that you're doing there? And he just simply put a hand in his pocket. He took the little book, like tiny little thing. It was, you know, just a little small little book. And he opened it. And he just said to me that they meet just to sing some songs and, you know, read the Bible and talk about God. But I actually stopped listening to him because when he opened that little Bible, I was completely drawn to it, because when he opened it, every single line was underlined or colored or highlighted. There was a lot of little things written all over every page. And he was like flickering through the pages, and I couldn't believe it, because every single page was like that. And before that, I loved reading books. I had a little library at my own house, and I loved reading books. But I've never seen a book that would be so special. And I thought there must be something really special in that book, because if every line is highlighted, if every line is marked, those lines, those words must really mean something very important. And I, of course, I've never had the Bible before, and I've never seen Bible. In Catholic Church, you're never ever encouraged to have Bible. You only hear what priest is reading. And I remember he used to just read just some bits and pieces from Psalms and maybe from New Testament. But I never ever knew really what was in the rest of the Bible. I never knew any Bible stories. Never had, you know, never had a Sunday school experience or anything like that. So I was really, really curious about this Bible. And I just said, Martin, is it possible for you to show me a little bit more? And I tried to use like excuses. I said, I'm writing those theses, you know, for one of the subjects of university. And I wonder if maybe what's in the Bible maybe will give me some new ideas or something. So I only was just like using excuses like that. But deep down, Martin knew that I was really searching and looking for something in life. So he agreed, and every now and then we would meet up, and he would bring the Bible, and he would read some, you know, bits and pieces. And he, these were the days when he shared the gospel with me for the first time. And of course, when I heard it for the first time, that Jesus died on the cross, and he died so my sins could be forgiven. And if I, if I ask him to take away my sins, if I ask him to come into my life, he would do that. He would be able to free me once for all from those sins. And at the start I thought, that's just far too simple. Life is much more complicated than this. You can't have such a simple solution and that's it, all sorted. You're happy as Larry and, you know, everything is okay. So at the start I was like, you know, I said, okay, that's great, but it's not for me, thanks very much. But I was still very curious to know more, and I had lots of questions for Martin. I was asking, for example, does God really exist? Maybe, because in my opinion, I always thought that maybe God is just something like a made-up story just to make us a little bit better and that just to give us some rules about life. But I didn't really believe in him with all of my heart. I also was asking him about Mary, because he was trying to tell me that Mary was, yes, she was a very, you know, specially chosen woman by God. But he was telling me that she was just like one of many women. She was a sinner. She was just a normal person like you and me. And I grew up in this culture where Mary was, you know, very much worshipped. She was like a, you know, she was almost like a, like your best friend, like your mother that you always pray to, you always talk to. And, you know, we had Mary, pictures of Mary everywhere in our houses, and you know, you always pray to Mary, and you know, I was always used to that. So he was trying to tell me, you know, all those things. What I didn't know was that Martin and his friends started to pray for me. And you know, there's an amazing power of prayer. When God sees that we prayed with all of our hearts and we believe that he will answer those prayers, he really does answer those prayers. And even though sometimes we pray for things that seem to be impossible, but yet God can do impossible things, and he can answer impossible prayers. So that's what happened. God answered my friend's prayers. It took many, many months, but there was a day, and it was Easter Saturday, and I had plans for Easter time I had my bags packed. I was planning to go and visit my mother. But obviously God had completely different plans for that weekend. It was Easter Saturday morning, and I remember waking up in the morning. In the meantime, I bought myself a Bible, so I had the Bible beside my bed. And I just remember that morning waking up and looking through the Bible. I can't even remember what I read, but I remember just looking through it, and I suddenly, with all of my heart, I started to really believe that everything I heard, you know, everything that Martin told me was true. And I just really, really believed. I started to believe in God with all of my heart, and I just realized that yes, God is true, and yes, He sent His Son to die on the cross, and that. And I started to believe with all of my heart that He can really relieve me from that burden of sin that I was born with. And I knew, even though I didn't really know many things, you know, I still needed to learn a lot, but all I knew that morning was that I have to invite Lord Jesus to my heart. I have to ask Him to take away my sins. I have to become a Christian. And I just knew I have to do it. And I phoned Martin. He came to my house straight away. And both of us just bowed down on our knees in my kitchen. And he prayed first, and I prayed. And Lord Jesus truly came into my life, and He took away my sins. And He really healed me. He really lifted that burden that I was carrying all my life. And my life completely changed around. Instantly, that very moment, I knew that I finally found the light I was looking for. For many years, I felt as if I was in this dark tunnel, and I just had no idea how to even find my way out of that dark tunnel. But suddenly I felt that this is it, this is that light in the end of the tunnel. This is what I was looking for all my life, and I knew from that moment on, I don't have to search for anything else, I don't have to look for anything else, because I found everything I needed. I just had it in my heart, and it was Lord Jesus Himself. And it says in 1 John in chapter 5, verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." I knew that before that, my life was like a failure. I was just failing and falling all the time. But I knew from this moment on, God gives me strength, and He gives me a victory every moment. Even if I'm going to fall, even if I'm going to let Him down, He will give me a victory to go through that and to pick myself up and just to really live my life for Him. It was really wonderful. He made such a difference. Like my parents, whenever they knew that I became a Christian, they just said to me, well, they didn't really say it to me, but they just said, you know, this is not going to last very long. It's just going to be like one of those things that she tried before, the horoscopes, the astrology, and I even tried Buddhist religion before, and they knew that all those things didn't last very long. But of course, you know, that happened a long time ago, and now they know that it really means everything to me. And I started to feel, from that moment on, I started to feel, before that I felt, you know that story in the Bible where it says that, you know, our life can be like a house that is built on a sand, and it can just fall? And I felt my life was like that before I met Lord Jesus Christ. But after I met Him, after I was saved, my house, my life was built on a solid rock, and it was such a difference. My friend Martin, he advised me to go to this little Baptist church, and I never even knew there were little Christian churches here and there in Poland. The only churches I knew were either Catholic churches or Buddhist temples, which I tried before. But he told me there was this little Baptist church, and I started to go there on Sundays. And it was really wonderful because I was able to bring my Bible, and I started to go to Bible studies before the services. Also, at one of the services, I heard that there's going to be a prayer meeting. So I wanted to go to this prayer meeting. And whenever I got saved on that day, Martin said to me, "Joanna, just watch out, because the devil obviously doesn't want you to live your life for God. He will try to trip you up. He will try to bring different obstacles on your way, and just don't let him. Just really be strong for God." And it turned to be very true on that very day when I wanted to go to prayer, my first prayer meeting in my life. It was the strangest thing happened, and I still don't know how it happened, but my friends came over to my house, and I said to them at some stage, "Look, I really need to go somewhere." And so, because they were in my house for the first time, they asked me for directions somewhere. So I said, "Look, we're just going to go to the crossroads, and at the crossroads, just stop the car. I'll stop as well, and then from there, I'll explain to you how to go further." It's just because it was quite complicated. We lived in a big city. So that's what we did. We went to that crossroads, and I got out of my car. My car was still, the engine was still on. I was just parked behind them, and I went over to their car, and I said, just from here, go left and right and straight and whatever. And then I went back to my car, and I wanted to open the door of my car, and it was locked, and I never locked it. And because the key was still in the engine was on. It was April time, and this was a type of car, I don't know if you know this type of car, where you have to have the choke on. I don't know if any of you know what I'm talking about. It's something that helps your start your engine, and it sort of keeps the engine going a little bit faster at the start. And so that whole thing was on, and for some reason the car locked itself. I don't know how it happened, because I've never done it. You know, I never had the keys, you know, like in those times, there was no keys with those little switches. It was just, you had to lock the door with your own key. So I really still don't know until this day how it happened. My friends saw through the little mirror that, you know, that I'm struggling to open my car, so they switched their car off, they came over, and we tried to get inside of the car, and we couldn't. So they actually tried to get this, like, metal rod, tried to sort of, like, you know, they damaged my door, of course, and everything. Then I sort of thought maybe we should phone the fire brigade or something, or, you know, I honestly didn't know what to do. And eventually we were able to get one of the windows out from the back of the car. Now, in the meantime, because this choke was on, the whole engine started to go on smoke. The smoke started to come out of the engine. So eventually we were able to get into the car, switch everything off, but because of that smoke and everything, it actually flooded the engine, and the whole thing was just a mess. And of course, as you can imagine, I didn't make it to the prayer meeting. But I just smiled to myself. I walked home. I sort of had to leave the car there. And I walked home, and I remembered that the words that Martin told me. He said, just watch out for the devil. He will try to put obstacles on your way. But don't worry. Just pray to God. Stay with God. Stay faithful to God. And he will look after you. And he really did. That was the only time when I didn't make it to the prayer meeting. After that, I always went and really, really enjoyed, you know, praying and learning about God, reading the Bible. These were the days when the first time in my life I read all those stories, you know, that you learn early in life here in Sunday school, the stories about Daniel and Abraham and Isaac and all those stories. And it was just really wonderful. I discovered that God really, truly answers our prayers. At that stage, I was 24, and I didn't have a boyfriend. And I said to myself, I really want to meet a man that I will marry, and I want him to be a godly man. But then I sort of thought, there's a little bit of a problem here, because I want him to be a Christian man, I want him to be a godly man, and I only knew like a handful of Christian people in my little church, and most of them were like old people, and you know, there was a few young people, but they were kind of like going out with each other and stuff. And I thought, how is this ever going to happen? But I just started to pray for it, and I just left it totally in the hands of God. So I got saved. It was like April time. It was Easter time. And just a few months later, exactly on the 10th of September, all that day I just felt that I have to. There's this beautiful old town in Krakow. It's really beautiful. I don't know if some of you were there or not. Hopefully you'll go someday. But it's a beautiful old medieval town. There's, you know, lovely atmosphere, a beautiful, beautiful city. And I really felt that day I have to go there with my friends. So I went out there and we just went to one of the cafes. And in that cafe, Colin was there with his friends and with his cousin. And we sort of like bumped into each other, and instantly we really, really liked each other. So we started to talk a little bit. Obviously, he was speaking English, so I sort of like spoke to him with a broken English that I knew. And we arranged to meet the next day. And then after a couple of days, we sort of met here and there. And then he had to go, you know, they were traveling around Europe interrailing, so they just had to go on. But we exchanged addresses. I gave him my photograph. And I really, really, really liked this guy. And apparently, he really liked me as well. But I didn't really know much about him. In Poland, in Polish culture, you don't, you know, when you meet somebody, you don't ask about their religion, about their beliefs. I know here it's one of the first things you ask. But over there, it's nothing like that at all. So I never asked him. And then it was, you know, we started to write letters to each other, little cards and things. And one of the letters, I'm not going to tell you what he said at the start or at the end, but one of the things he said was that when he was 17 years old, he became a Christian. He invited Lord Jesus to his heart, and that God was the most important thing in his life, that he loves going to the church, and this is the most important thing in his life. And whenever I read that, I nearly fell off the chair. I was like, I couldn't believe it. Here I was praying that God would send a godly man into my life. So right away I sat down and I told him my story, how I grew up in the Catholic Church, how I left the church, how I was, you know, for years and years I was searching and looking, and finally a few months ago I became a Christian. I met with God, I invited him to my life, I live for him now, he's the most important thing in my life. And I don't know why, at the end of the letter I said to him that ever since that time I was praying that God would send a godly man to my life. And apparently whenever Colin received that letter, he just shouted, "Praise the Lord, I'm your man." But ever since that time, you know, just we really felt, both of us felt that it was really meant to be for us to meet, and we just exchanged loads of letters. There was no mobile phones, no internet, no Facebook, no WhatsApp, no nothing like that there at all. And we just wrote letters and letters and letters, and we still were able to keep in touch. And the following year, I was able to come to Northern Ireland and meet Colin's family. Then he was able to go to meet my family, and that was the time when he called my dad pig and called me a turkey. And then a few months later, he sort of officially asked me to marry him, and I actually told him no. But in Poland, in Polish language, the word no actually means yes. So I answered him in Polish thinking that I'm saying yes, but he sort of thought, is she actually refusing to marry me? And he was like, didn't have a plan B. But eventually I told him, of course, that means yes. And the next time I came to Northern Ireland, I arrived with a suitcase in one hand and with a wedding dress in the other hand. And we got married. And you know, it is a really wonderful story how God answers prayers. You know, that was a major thing in my life, something that had a major influence over our both lives. We got married, and God gave us, you know, God gave me a godly partner, godly man, godly husband, and from a different country. But it was also meant to be, because even when we met, Colin had a job. You know, we thought our life was all sorted, and he had a steady job. He was working in Marks and Spencer's. But eventually he started to feel very unsettled, and he felt that God is calling him to go to the Bible college. And of course that changed everything. He started to go to Bible college, he went to study. And after that, we were asked to go to Jamaica for 1 year and Australia for 3 years, just to serve God and to look after the church there. And it was an amazing experience. But even through that time, we started to discover that God is wanting us to focus more on like children's work and youth work. And after coming back from Australia, we started something called Hope for Youth Ministries. And that came from the verse from Psalm 71, verse 5, that says, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." And we just felt that it's really, really important, even when you're in your young years, just to really get to know God. And we felt there could be a wonderful ministry in things like camps and, you know, going to schools and sharing the gospel with the children. And we started to organize camps. For example, here in Tullymore, once a year we have a camp, and I really want to invite you to come to this camp, because it's a brilliant camp. We stay under army tents. We have 6 meals a day, so you're never hungry, and we have loads of activities. You can come as a camper, or you can come as a junior leader, or, you know, you're very, very welcome. We do it in July here in Tullymore Forest Park. So we also started to go back to my own country, to Poland, to organize camps. And these camps are mainly for orphan children or kids from very poor homes and very broken homes. So it really is wonderful to be able to just go to those as well. If you will have a look at our newsletters, there are, you know, photographs from those different trips. This past year we've been to Poland, Philippines, Laos, Vietnam, India, Nepal, and just to share the gospel with young people, with children, and it really is wonderful to be able to serve God. But on a daily basis, you know, we see how God really makes us strong, how he makes us victorious, and even sometimes we face different trials or different situations, and when we are weak, God makes us strong. You maybe went through some trials in your life, and maybe you wonder sometimes, where is God in all this? But I wanted to show you one of my paintings. This is a painting I painted here in Northern Ireland, and it's a copy of a painter called Rembrandt. And this actually shows a boat and its disciples and the 12 disciples and Lord Jesus on the boat. And it shows the time when there was this big storm broke out on the lake, and the disciples were trying to cross the lake to the other side. And you know, this is what it's like sometimes in our lives. We try to, you know, go through some situation, go through our part of our lives, and maybe suddenly the storm breaks out and we don't know how to face it, and we start to panic. We think that we're going to die, that something is going to happen, and it's all going to go wrong. But when Lord Jesus is with us, when we have Christ in our lives, we definitely can be sure that we are safe, because even though this was a life-threatening situation, Lord Jesus was able to calm that storm. And he just said, don't worry, just trust me. And I experienced that in my own life, that if I trust him, he really, really takes you by your hand and really takes you through all kinds of different situations. And in the end of that, he was really able to calm the storm. He literally physically calmed the waves. He removed the wind and the rain, and everybody was safe. Not one person perished. And it's the same thing, you know, in those situations in our lives, that if he was able to calm something like a massive storm, how much more he can really intervene in different situations in our lives, and he just can bring us, you know, to the point of peace, when we can be really peaceful about different situations. And that's why I really enjoyed painting that. That's just one of the different things I painted. I love painting all sorts of things, like landscapes and animals and people and all different things, but that was just really nice because it was connected with the story from the Bible. So I just want to encourage you to just really trust in God and every day, in every situation, in the good times and bad times, because his grace is really sufficient for us. You know, there's a wonderful verse in 2 Corinthians, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And, you know, no matter what's happening in your life, no matter what you're going through, there's always different challenges, different pressure from people, even within our own families, within our, you know, amongst our friends, amongst people in work, in school. But yet, whenever, you know, we have God with us, we can, like, you know, go through any situation and just really rejoice in him and trust in him, because, you know, he is he's a real rock that we can really lean on and depend on, and that's exactly how I experience him. So I want to encourage you to take this wee prayer letter and read it. There is everything in it, like about the camp I told you in Tullymore. There is a little bit about our trip to Poland. This is something I also want to encourage you, if you ever think about, like, maybe going to a mission trip. You know, when you serve God, that's the time when you really, really draw so close to him, because you can do something for him, you can serve him. And if you ever were thinking about maybe going to a mission trip, Poland is a great place to go, because it's not too far away, it's cheap to go, it's not expensive, the flights are not expensive at all. And we have amazing teams. We had a team of 28 people from Northern Ireland just last February, and the crack was just absolutely fantastic. We always had, you know, brilliant times together, and I want to encourage you to get involved in those things. If you're a Christian, get involved in the Christian life, and, you know, Christ has done so much for us. He gave his own body, his own flesh, his own bones, his own soul. He just gave his life for us, and we just can give him just that little part of life, and we can serve him, we can even bring that little life to somebody else's life. I became a Christian in Poland because somebody told me about God, And maybe you also can do that. You can go to Poland or you can go to somewhere, maybe here, I don't know, and tell somebody else. Don't just live life for yourself. Live it for God and show others that light, you know. Show others that the Lord is the light of salvation. Because it's really it's so wonderful. Once you will see somebody trust in Him, somebody has a life changed, you will feel so blessed. And you know, you will know that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I really want to encourage you to do that. And thanks very much for listening. I really hope I spoke clearly enough. Sometimes I think I speak a little bit too fast, but I'm still not faster than you. So thanks very much.